Thank you so much to our scripture readers. Thank you, Gene, for sharing so much about Silk Road and the ministry there. Let me just say that if you want to know more about Silk Road and the ministry that Billy and Gene are doing, and that the locals are doing, that you just simply get together with Billy and Gene over a cup of tea. They'll be glad to share with you more, I know. Well, in December of 1944, in the final months of World War II, a Japanese lieutenant named Hirou Onoda was stationed in Lubang, a tiny island in the Philippines. Within weeks of his arrival, a U.S. attack forced Japanese combatants into the jungle. But unlike most of his comrades, Onoda remained hidden on the island for nearly 30 years. Leaflets that were dropped from airplanes on Lubang to inform some of the leftover stragglers of Japan's army, they sent leaflets announcing the surrender on August the 15th, 1945. But Onoda and his friends dismissed the leaflets as fakes, and the three remaining servicemen stayed in the jungle. They remained hidden in the wilderness among stinging ants and snakes, living on a diet of banana skins, coconuts, and rice. They were convinced that the enemy was trying to starve them out. The Japanese government declared him dead in 1959, but in reality, he was alive. Committed himself personally, his other friends had died by then, but he was committed to a mission that had instructed him to hold the island in his position until the Imperial Army's return. He was convinced the whole time that the war had never ended. I don't know if you've heard that story before. Very interesting. A peace had been declared a long time ago, but Onoda could not accept it. Just think, if only he had known the truth and accepted the truth, he could have lived for 30 years in peace instead of continuing to fight. Well, similarly, the Bible tells us that human beings, in one sense, are at war. At war with God. Peace is available to people, but many refuse to surrender to God because they just don't believe that peace is really available. Let's ask the Lord to help us as we look in Romans 5. Lord, I pray that you will guide us in your truth and teach us and open up this text, Lord. Open up our eyes that we might behold wonderful things in your law, Lord. Incline our hearts this morning to your testimonies, not to selfish gain. Turn our eyes from looking at worthless things in this life and give us life in your ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been in the book of Romans for a while, and although... By the way, some of you may be wondering, why did you sing Christmas carols this morning? Well, it's November. Well, today is actually the first Sunday of Advent, the Christmas season, if you will, the arrival or the coming of King Jesus we're waiting on. So today is the first day, and instead of doing a Christmas series where we talk about, you know, maybe some popular Christmas movies, and we look at those and things like that, we're just going to continue in the book of Romans. till the new year. So I'm calling this a Roman holiday. We're just going to be in Romans chapter 5. We're going to kind of slow down a little bit and just look in Romans 5 this month or in December. So let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. It says this, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." So what we've seen so far in Romans has been pretty simple. We saw in chapters 1 and following that all people, Jews and non-Jews, everybody who's ever been born, except for Jesus, are under sin, reject God and give in to immorality and idolatry. That's chapter 1. Romans makes it clear that we have no righteousness of our own, and God requires righteousness. So because God requires righteousness, and we have no righteousness, we have a problem. We are all enemies of God, separated from God. We have no way to be right with God. But God, we've seen in Romans, has made a way for us to be right with Him. Jesus Christ, the righteous God-man, died on the cross to take our sin from us and to give us His righteousness. A double imputation where He takes our sin and gives us His righteousness. So when we come to chapter 5 of Romans, there's a major shift. Romans chapter 5 is a turning point. The focus is no longer the way in which we are justified, made right with God by grace through faith. But now chapter 5 will shift and start speaking of the benefits that we now experience because we are justified. The benefits. So today, we're going to look at one of those. Verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So there's the first benefit. Peace. Peace with God. That I can find, the phrase "peace with God" is not mentioned anywhere else in Scripture but here. I mean, there's lots of verses I'm even going to give you today to talk about peace. But the peace with God, I can find only here. In this verse, chapter 5, verse 1, it starts with the word "therefore." Therefore, you know, points us to all that has come before, actually, in chapters 1 through 4. This "therefore" is, okay, in light of everything that we've seen in chapters 1 through 4, Paul tells us plainly in a nutshell here that therefore, since we have been justified by faith, you could summarize the first four chapters. What he's been trying to prove to us is that we are justified by grace through faith. Now we have peace with God. Also in chapter 5, the pronouns shift, and Paul starts to use we and us instead of just generally mankind or Jews or unbelievers or you. But now he says we and us. No doubt Paul is including himself in those who have been justified by faith. Notice too that it's past tense. It's something that is done. We have been justified, legally declared right by God through faith in Jesus Christ. We now have peace with God. What a beautiful statement. Peace with God. Not peace through God, not peace in God, though, of course, those are certainly true, but here it's peace with God. Now, we talk about peace a lot. This peace that we see here is not kind of that internal feeling where we feel like everything is okay. This is not what this means here. This is peace as in the opposite of conflict. Or peace in the opposite of wars, the opposite of war. Not the feeling of peace, but the fact of peace. So let's tackle some simple questions. I'm going to go fast. I'm going to look at three simple things. It's not going to be a complicated message. Why do we need peace with God? Number one. Why do we need peace with God? Number two, what does it mean to have peace with God? And thirdly, of course, how do we get peace with God? So let's look, why do we need peace with God? Quite simply, because we human beings, from birth, we looked at original sin. All of us are under sin. We are at war with God. We are against Him. We've been fighting Him. Now we know this is true, even though I'm focusing on verse 1, I want us to see in this section, there are two bookends, okay? On one end, in verse 1, we have this peace with God. And in verses 10 and 11, it's reconciliation, okay? Those are basically the same thing, right? If you're married, we'll talk about that in a moment. If you want peace, you want reconciliation. So verses 9 and 10 say this, Romans 5, 9 and 10. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, stop, justified by His grace, justified by faith, justified by His blood, that's the same thing because they're all through Jesus Christ. Since therefore we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. So right here in the verses 10 and 11, we see the reason why we need peace with God. Because we have been enemies apart from Christ. God's wrath is not a good thing. Being an enemy of God is not a good thing. So we need peace with God. So this is what we've been seeing in chapters 1 through 4, that we are in need of peace and we are in need of reconciliation. We could not make things right. We need peace with God. Because of our sin and our rebellion, we have been at war with Him. Number two, what does it mean to have peace with God? What does it mean to have peace with God? Again, we see in chapter 5, 10, and 11, it means that the conflict is now gone forever. By the way, when it says we have peace with God, that is final. We have been justified. It's forever done. We have and will keep on continually, we will have forever peace with God. It's not that we've been justified and we have peace with God, and then we don't have peace with God, and we have peace with God. This is the legal declaration of peace, not the feeling of peace. In these verses, peace is in the beginning and reconciliation is on the end. What does it mean to have peace with God? Reconciliation. Reconciliation. Verses 10 and 11 already mentioned it. Have you ever gotten into, if you're married, have you ever gotten into a big fight with your wife or husband? They're like, no, never. Well, I sure have. Maybe you guys are better than we are. I sure have. It was surely all my fault. Early on in our marriage, is Amber even in here? Oh, this is an easy story to tell. She's not in here, right? No, she'll laugh at this as well. But I remember early on in our marriage, we got into a huge, big fight. And it was over something very simple. It was over, we pulled up to a drive-through window, a restaurant in America. You know, you pull up in your car so you don't have to even walk. You pull up to the drive-through to order food. And I, of course, knew exactly what I wanted when I pulled up to the drive-through, because I'd been there 1,000 times. And so I just, you know, they're like, can I take your order, please? And I'm like, oh, I'll take a number one, you know, take a number one with sweet tea. And I look at her and she's like, I don't know, right? I'm not sure what I want. And I started feeling this pressure of these cars behind me and this long line. And the lady on the intercom is like, yeah, is that all? And I'm like, could you hang on a second? And I'm like, Amber, and this is second year of marriage, okay? We got in this huge fight. And now I know how to handle that. But all of this happened on the way to a marriage conference. So we laugh about it. But you know, when you're at odds with someone, it feels terrible. Especially if you're living with that person. In those moments, you know, all you really want is reconciliation and peace. But it's not always easy, is it? That's what Christ did for us. He provided a way for us to have peace with God. Not enmity, not strife, not being against each other, but reconciliation. The Faith Life Study Bible said this: peace is more than just the absence of conflict. It is the result of having been declared righteous by faith, and might I add, forever. Well, peace just feels really good, doesn't it? How good does peace with God feel? Knowing that we have peace. Let me give you some other verses in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 19. What is it we're talking about? What does it mean to have peace with God? Reconciliation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Reconciliation. Ephesians chapter 2. These aren't on the screen, okay? So just listen. Ephesians 2, 13 to 18. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace. This is talking about between Jews and Gentiles. That he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, killing the hostility. Again, He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 says, "For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death." Isn't that good news? So why do we need peace with God? Because we've been fighting Him our whole lives. What does it mean to have peace with God? It means reconciliation. It means the relationship is right and good and harmonious forever. And of course, lastly, how do we get peace with God? I've already mentioned. And this verse, Romans 5:1, tells us, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So think about this in a relational sense. 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself as a ransom for all." So God, human beings, Jesus, the mediator, to bring those two in reconciliation and peace. Peace with God is available only through the one mediator, Jesus Christ, the only arbitrator or arbiter, the only negotiator, conciliator, the go-between, the middleman, the moderator, the interceder, the intercessor, the reconciler, Jesus the broker, Jesus the liaison, Jesus the peacemaker, Jesus Christ is the only way we can have peace with God, because He gave His life as a ransom payment so that we could be justified. Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." That doesn't mean that everybody feels good. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth those who know Jesus Christ have peace. Now you understand why the greetings throughout Paul's letters sound like this: "To all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Romans 15:33, "May the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Hebrews 13, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The God of peace. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you have peace today? Do you have peace in your heart? Would what's going on in your heart and in your mind continually, would it be described as peace? Or would it be described as struggle? Or conflict? Internal conflict? Are you fighting God? I don't recommend you do that. If you're wrestling with God, the Bible calls you to a place called surrender. Surrender. the way to deal with God is not to fight God. It is to give up and surrender. The terms of peace have been laid out. What are those terms? Surrender. Come out of the jungle of sin and surrender and become a servant in God's kingdom and have eternal life forever and ever. Peace with God through Jesus Christ. Why can you surrender to God? Why is that the right thing? Because God is loving and compassionate and good. You're not surrendering to a dictator. You're surrendering to the author of life who loves you. As I close, let me just give some encouragements to us as Christians. Christian, do you need to be reminded today that you have peace with God? If you have peace with God, if you've been justified by faith through Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. It's final. It's done. There may be somebody here that although you believe in Jesus, you may be still trying to impress God with your works. You're still trying to get God to love you more by doing things. Can I just tell you, there's nothing you can do. You won't cause God to love you any more than He already does. Just receive it and enjoy it, that you have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Now, inevitably, that finalized reconciliation, peace with God, should lead us to peace in life in various ways, right? It doesn't always do that, does it? I would encourage us as Christians to continually remind ourselves of the truth of what we have in Christ Jesus. Christian, no matter what it is you might be going through today, even though it may be very difficult, I definitely will not make light of anybody's circumstances. But I can tell you this, your future looks really good in Christ. So no matter how much suffering the believers in Myanmar, up in Kanpetlets and Chin State or Cambodia, no matter Christians suffering all over the world today, their future looks really, really good in Christ. Where does our peace come from? Where does the inner feeling of peace come from? Well, it comes in knowing that we've already have peace with God and that He will take care of us for all eternity. We can rest in that and believe that truth and be at peace. The world likes to talk about this time of the year, likes to say things about, boy, one thing I want for Christmas this year, or one thing I want for New Year's this year is peace on earth. Well, there's no peace unless we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, I pray that You will now do a work of grace and You will cover over my tracks, anything that I might have said that is not useful or beneficial or helpful for our congregation. I pray that You will, like the heavy snowfall, You'll cover what is not beneficial, but what is helpful for all of us, or encouraging, or is a healing balm, or a hammer or a sword or a light to our path and a lamp to our feet. I pray that that would remain and that you would use your word by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.